Good morning. I want to thank you so very much for having me come and speak on this fun experience that I've had. For those of you who don't know, my name is Bobby Frederick, and I just went to Zambia, Africa. We left December 1st, and we came back on December 12th. And so, as you can see, I put a star where we live now, and all the way across another side is Zambia, Africa. Zambia is about a little bit bigger than the size of Texas, so it kind of gives you an idea of how big Africa really is. So we had about 30 hours one way to get there. We flew from Sioux Falls to the cities, and then we went to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam to Lusaka. And so once we got to Lusaka, Zambia, we actually got to spend the night, and then we got into a bus about 6 hours to Choma. And their roadway is a little different than our roadway. They have not as smooth roads as we have. They drive on the left side of the road, so when you actually sat on the right side in the front, it felt like you should be driving, but you really weren't. But we got there safely, and we dug right in, so that was pretty cool. The next slide, we actually have a picture of our team. This is the team that came from Sioux Falls. I went with a church in Sioux Falls called The Ransom. I actually worked with the leader that went at one of the churches that I used to work at. And so we worked with The Ransom, and we actually got to meet a Sheraton church. Sheraton, Wyoming, had 5 people come, and they work in a village down there. And so they came and teamed up with us as we worked with kids in the town of Choma. And then a day we got to go to the village and got to see that experience and see what they've worked on in that village, which was pretty cool. And so we went through an organization called POAS. POAS is in Michigan, and they work with Fortress. So in the United States, it's called POAS, and in Zambia, it's called the Fortress. And so same company, 2 different names, but they work for the same common good of helping orphans, helping families down there, vulnerable kids. They just want to help show the light of God that they have down there, which is pretty cool. The next slide, when we got there, we jumped right in. There is no time to get adjusted to the time frame. It's about an 8-hour time difference, and we just jumped our feet right in. And so we got down there on December 1st, and on December 1st is actually World AIDS Day across the world. And AIDS is very important in Zambia. In normal cities, about 1 in every 7 people have AIDS. And when you get further into the rural areas, into the bush, it's 1 in every 3. So it's a very, very common disease down there. And so December 1st, they make a huge celebration of it, of trying to help prevent AIDS. And so we were at part of it. About 300 people were in this gymnasium/church, singing and dancing, hearing stories, and just worshiping, which is cool, because the church celebrates way different than the government. The government also has celebrations, but their ways of protection of AIDS is way different than what a church's would be. So we were part of a cool way of just seeing all these kids celebrate and sing. African culture is very much, they all love to sing. So these kids were on the chairs, they were singing and dancing. Their culture is to sing. So if they understood the reason why they should be singing, that's always a question, but they definitely had that celebration part of it, pretty cool. While we were there, we actually had camp too. The next slide you'll see, we got to spend 2.5 days at a camp with about 105 kids. And with that, what we were able to do is we started camp at 5 o'clock. We didn't get done with World AIDS concert until about 9 o'clock. Zambia time frame is a little different than the United States time frame. For example, if the bus was leaving at 8 o'clock, you were ready at 8, but the bus might not leave until 9 o'clock. And so same with camp. Camp started at 5 o'clock, registration started at 5. Some of us left at 5:30 to go register kids, and then camp started at 9 o'clock. But it was pretty cool because we actually got to stay with the kids. The kids came and stayed at the fortress headquarters, so we got to eat with them. We got to spend all day with these kids. These kids are either orphans or they're vulnerable, and so we were able to share God's word with them. We were able to have small groups to get to know them a little bit more. They do speak English, which is nice, so we were able to communicate very well. If they didn't, we always had a translator in our group that could explain it a little differently. We got to do a community service. In the corner here, you can see there's a whole bunch of garbage. My group, we went to the marketplace for our community service, and we picked up the garbage. They don't have any waste paper baskets in the marketplace, and so this is one of the corners. And so when the garbage gets too full, what they'll do is they'll burn it. And then you'll have the ash of the burnt garbage, and they'd keep going on top of each other. So when we got there, I was prepared. I wasn't really prepared, but I was. And they gave us the bags, the garbage bags, and in there it's cloth bags. And I looked at one of the guys and I was like, okay, do we use our hands? Do we wait for gloves? I'm cool. Either way, you just gotta let me know what the protocol is. And he's like, no, no. He's like, wait for plastic, wait for plastic. They had to go get some. And the kids didn't want to wait. The kids were ready to go. So they actually, the kids dug through the garbage and found plastic bags or potato chip bags. You know how we have Dorito bags? They don't have Doritos, but they have bags with potato chips in it. And they pulled that out, stuck their hands in it, and started picking up the garbage. As I was working alongside one of the girls, this girl didn't have any shoes on. And I kept telling her, don't step on glass, don't step on metal, don't step on glass. So when we got done, we're like, where are your shoes? And she's like, oh, I left them back at camp. She's like, I don't wear shoes when I go to work normally. She's like, and they're a little small, and they hurt her feet. So it was more easier for her to walk around in this garbage than it was for her to wear those shoes. So we were able to get right into their culture. We were able to experience where they are. Their kids are just like our kids. We just have a little bit more than they. We got to work with some kids that actually, we got to go clean their house. You'll see a picture in a later slide. But in that slide, what it is we went and go clean their house. They have two rooms in their house. They live in a mud hut. And in that mud hut, if it rains really, really good, they have the fear that hut is going to collapse. And so we swept out their dirt floor. We swept out their front yard, which was dirt. We picked the weeds and we did laundry, not in a wash machine, but in a bucket where they had to go to the well and get water and come back. And so one of the stories at camp, it talked about the Samaritan woman, about how everybody goes to the well in the morning because it's much cooler. And she went when it was at noon. And so about how going to noon at the well is not heard of because it's so hot, and how she was there and Jesus was there. And so Micah, when he gave the sermon, was saying, you guys know what it's like. He's like, your mom tells you to go to the well, you're like, oh, I have to go to the well today, because you have to go in line. And here when our mom's like, hey, go put the dishes in the dishwasher, we're like, oh, my TV show's on. And so it's kind of, they've got the same things. They don't want to necessarily do the same things, but it's a different culture than we had here. The next slide we have is we got to spend a day at the village. So we had camp for 2.5 days, and so as the kids were cleaning up camp, heading home, we headed to the village. And so with the village here, we did a couple projects. In the corner is the bathroom. So if you had to go to the bathroom, that was their bathroom. It's like a porta potty, but it's actually a little different. But in this corner, they made their own equipment. That's their playground equipment they're working on. While we were there, we were able to fence a garden. We were able to paint a office of one of the school teachers, do new doors and new windows in the pastor's house. And we got to hang out with kids. And their kids, we pulled up, and this huge tree, because the trees are so big there, are for shade. They don't have AC, they don't have air conditioner, that's their shade. And so we pulled up, and there's like hundreds of kids under this tree with this elders, and they didn't move. We got off the bus, we greeted people, they sat us down, they didn't move. And in my head, I'm like, why aren't they moving? Why aren't they coming to say hi? And they must have been told not to move, because they didn't move. They had a little performance for us, and we stood up and we started going to the kids, and that's what made them move. But some of them were really scared because we're white and they're black, and they had not seen us. What they call us Makua. And so when we were driving down the bus, you could see people, like, they'd wave and they'd be like, Makua, Makua. And so they were like super excited to meet us, because some of them have never seen anybody that looks like us. One of the guys sat next to one of the kids, and he just sat down, didn't even think about it. And the kid wasn't paying attention, and the kid looked over and seeing that he was sitting next to them, the kid screamed and ran away, because that was a little terrifying for them to be sitting next to somebody that they didn't know, and this is a Makua, la! And so he felt really bad. He's like, I didn't do anything. I don't even think he said hi. He was just sitting there. And so some kids were very much, they wanted to hug us, to touch us, to feel us, and some kids ran literally away from us because we are different. In the next slide, you can see we got to go into the homes of those kids that we were working with. While we spent a couple days getting to know the Fortress staff, the Fortress staff works 24 hours with these kids. They either are in their homes or they're working with them at school, and so they know the families that need the help. They have assistance down there, this organization does, to help with tuition. school, all the way from kindergarten, all the way to the university, you have to pay tuition. You have to pay tuition, you have to pay for uniforms, you have to pay for your books, you have to pay for your shoes. If you come to school and you don't have the right shoes on, they will send you home. Education is something that's a privilege to a lot of these kids, and a lot of kids don't go to school because they can't afford it. And so Fortress pays for some tuition, they pay for some schooling, it just depends. So the average school that people actually will reach of level is 6th or 7th grade because they can't afford to go on. About 100 kids, maybe one or two of them will actually go to the university because they can't afford it. It's so expensive. So we got to go into these three different homes. The first one home we went to was for three kids. They live with their grandmother, for Elias, Selena, and Nelia. And so with that, what they do is we went and cleaned. We did clean their dirt floors. We helped them with their dishes. We got to pray over them. And so we got to hang out. We got to see. Their bathroom is in the back, and there's no walls for their bathroom. They use, like, grass. So we got to see really what their life is like. We got to visit Pierce in the corner. He lives with his family. There is 9 children in the home, 9 children and 4 grandchildren. Their house is very full. And so on the top, we got to meet Anise. She lives with her parents. She is 14, and she just started going to school. She's actually in the first grade. Her parents are both positive for HIV/AIDS. And so she actually is the caregiver of the family. She takes care of her parents because they cannot take care of her. And so Fortress has stepped in and taken them to the clinic to go and help her so that she can go to school, she can get education, help her family out more. These kids, we can see them. We know that there's more to their story, but you would never know. I got to work with about 100 kids with that camp, and I maybe know 4 or 5 stories. I don't get to know all of them. And same with the staff. The staff gets to work with them always and over again. It's kind of like here. We've got lots of kids. We just don't know all their stories. In the next picture, or in the next slide, we had a day where we could go in the community. We went to a kindergarten graduation. We got to see them do their little performances of acts and Christmas. When I was down there, it was Christmas time here. So when I left, our Christmas tree was up, and people were getting ready because Thanksgiving was just got done. And so when we got down there, I kind of forgot that Christmas was there. They don't have Christmas trees. They don't have lights. They can't afford it. Their presents, a lot of families probably won't even have presents for Christmas. So when we walked into this graduation for the school, I was super excited because I love Christmas. I love the decorations. I love the reason for Christmas, but I love to celebrate it. So when I walked in, they have some decorations, and they had a Christmas tree, and they had the Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and I was like literally bouncing in the door. I'm like, yay, it's Christmas. And so, but that's not necessarily what those kids are like realizing what Christmas is. They celebrate. If they celebrate, they celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. We got to visit a hospital, and the hospital is way different than what our hospitals are. We are very lucky in Sioux Falls to have Sanford and Vera. And that hospital, they're very lucky to have a hospital, but we went in and prayed over the people. And then the people, there are multi-people per room. They're not like one rooms, you want to have your privacy. There might be 5 or 6 people, if not maybe 20 to 25 people in one room. And so there's no air conditioner, windows are open, they sleep with nets when the bugs come out. It's just a very different culture. And so we got to pray over that, we got to see that. We got to go to a music academy. Fortress works with the Music Academy. They actually founded it, and there's about 200 kids that can go and learn musical instruments, so they have something to help them get out, help them to work towards something. And in the corner, that's how we started our bus. We had a push start, so that when we wanted it, we just pushed it where we wanted it to go. So it was kind of cool to be able to go full force for that one. And the next slide you're going to see, we had one day of tourists. We worked, busy. It really was. Like, when we had our downtime, it wasn't where we had our downtime. It was when you got up early or you went to bed late. That was our downtime. So we really got the whole force of work. But our last day, which was on a Sunday, we actually got to spend just being tourists. We got to walk around with cameras instead of having people take pictures of us. And so we got up and we went to church. And Zambian time again is we're gonna leave at 8 o'clock. We didn't leave at 8 o'clock, so we got to church late. we came in and we kind of tried to sneak in and we sat down. Well, the lady who took care of us, her name is Petronella. She's like, okay, at 11:05, we're walking out the door. 11:05, they did some songs and we sat down and I happened to be sitting next to her and she had her cell phone and she pulled her cell phone out. 11:06. And she's like, okay. So we sat a little bit longer, which was nice to be able to just experience that church. Their church, they're in the process of building it. So their old church, they had a church, and you can actually see that foundation on the ground. They built around their church, and then they tore that church down, and so they're growing. And this lady said, it's so big, she can run around the church in 2 minutes. And the pastor said, do it. So she literally stood up and ran around the church, and she came back. And so we were all like, we would never do that. That'd be like, run around the church, see if you can do it in 2 minutes. Wouldn't happen, would it? And so it was fun to just be out. We were able to go see Victorian Falls. Victorian Falls is one of the 7 wonders of the world. It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous when you're soaking wet. We got about halfway into our walk, and the clouds opened up, and it downpoured. There's no shelter at all around there. And so we ran into some trees, shoved our cameras in our bags, and we were like, okay, we're wet. We were soaked, head to toe. And so thankfully, I had sandals on, so they dried out. One of the guys had tennis shoes on, and so all day he kept taking his tennis shoes off because they were soaked and wet. But it was still gorgeous. We got to visit some marketplaces, definitely different shopping than what we experience here at the mall. We go to the mall, we pay the price, we're done. There, you get a barter. They'll be like, I want this for 150 kwacha. We get a really good deal with kwacha. $1 for the United States equals 5 kwacha for them. So if you exchange $100, you get 500 kwacha. So when they're like, hey, this is $150 for 150 kwacha, you're like, no, I want to pay 50. And then you go back and forth. It's not as easy as it looks. They can kind of be mean. But I definitely learned how to do that by the end of the day. But it was a fun day to go. And so as we went to the next slide, you're going to see we continued our day with on a game drive. If you go to Africa, you have to go to the safari. You have to see animals. And so with that, our goal was to see some elephants and some giraffes. That's the big ticket. You want to see them because you don't get to see them live. So we got in and we pulled into the parking lot, which is their parking lot of the game drive, which really isn't a parking lot at all. And we see some hippos and we're like, yay. So we got our pictures taken of hippos. And as we drive in, we see some zebras and gazelles and warthogs. And we kind of go up around this road and we come down and our bus gets stuck. So the road isn't very smooth, so anytime you go down a really big dip, it's like you can feel the whole bus shake as it like drags on the road. And so we kind of had that. We were going down, and it drug, and it stopped. We were not going anywhere. So we all hop off. Well, when you first come, it says a sign, do not get off unless it's a designated area. So we all are hopping off, saying, ha, we have to push. And 2 guys with machine guns show up. What you doing? We're like, oh, we're kind of stuck. We can't go anywhere. And so one of the guys actually helped us get unstuck. He pushed us. And then I don't know if someone had told him what we were looking for. And he's like, do you want to see some rhinos? We're like, well, of course. Rhinos are very rare. There's only 13 in Zambia total. And there's 8 in this park where we were. And there's 5 in Lusaka. And those are hidden. They can't be seen. So we're like, of course. So we get back on our bus. And one of the guys with the machine gun hops on our bus with us. And the guys with the machine guns are actually soldiers. They actually protect the rhinos 24 hours a day because they are so poached. And so they're there to protect them. So we go back and we get to this spot where he stops us and we get off. So he's like, we're all getting off, and 2 more guys with machine guns show up. So now we have 3 around us. And he's like, okay, he's like, you're going to follow me. He's like, single file, don't run, don't scream, let's go. Okay. So he's off and we follow him, single file, and the guy behind us comes behind us with one of the machine guns and one stays at the bus so that we don't hurt any of the rhinos. And we're walking. And in my head, as I'm walking, I'm like, we're going to see some rhinos and there's no fences. And so we come up to this mama rhino and this baby rhino that are just eating grass. They're just grazing. And he's like, come closer. So we were able to get about 20 to 25 feet from these rhinos as we're taking pictures. And they're walking, so we're just walking with them, taking pictures. And we get done, and he's like, you happy? And we're like, well, yeah. We're like, thank you. So he thankfully gets us back to our bus carefully. No running, no screaming. Everybody was fine. We get back to the bus. We thank them. And we're like, we just seen some rhinos. That never happens. We're going to go see some elephants and giraffes. We can do this. We got this. So we get back on the bus, and we drive back, and we're going and going, and all of a sudden our bus stops. we have a flat tire. Well, okay, not a problem if we had a jack in our bus. The jack was actually in the van, which was 2 hours away from a, they just went on a trip and they hadn't moved all the equipment back over. So here we are in Zambia in the middle of the safari, no jack, flat tire, what do you do? They don't have AAA. And so one of the ladies that we were with was like, no problem, I called a friend, we'll be fine. Okay, so we waited for our friend that was supposed to come and bring a jack. Well, at this point, we're funny, we're kind of humorous, so we're like, okay, so if we don't make it out of here, who are we gonna eat first? Because we don't have any food. So we were already planning on what we were gonna do if there was no food and what was gonna go on. We're next to the river, which has hippos and crocodiles in it, and then we're next to, like, we're just, my mind is just like all over, like what animals are around us. And well, so the guys are out making a video and the ladies are out in the bus visiting, and it gets darker and it gets darker and it's dark at this point, and all of a sudden we see headlights. We're like, yay, our friends are here. And they pull up and they're in a little baby car with a little baby jack. We are not a little baby bus. So we literally put the jack next to the bus tire and the bus tire and the little, it wasn't gonna work. So we had a call for more help. So at this point, we're like, it's super dark. There's no street lights, there's no nothing. We're like, you think the park would be closing? You think they'd come and make sure everybody was out of the park? Nope. So here we are, waiting and waiting. Finally, we get more headlights and we see a big bus like ours bring multi-jacks. They change the tire, we get on the way. So we waited 2 hours for this jack. So we're driving out to get out of the park. They have to open the gate because they have closed the gate at this point because it's past visiting hours. They let us out and we all go. And so now we are probably on the road, we have to eat supper, and we still have to travel 2 hours to go back to our camp in the dark, which they don't like to travel in the dark because it's the dark, and if you break down, well, you're in Africa, there's not really anybody to help you. But we got there safely, we got home safely, we have a great story of our tourist day. But it was funny because every time Joe would take off his tennis shoes, because they are wet from the morning, we got stuck. Put it back on, helped push the bus, got off, took them off. We had a flat tire. So we told him he wasn't allowed to take off his tennis shoes at all anymore because we wanted to get home safely for the rest of the night. And the next picture you're gonna see, just some fun pictures. We just had fun. We got to be present with these kids. We got to hang out with them. Just an FYI, there's about 1.5 million orphans in Zambia. Because AIDS is so high, their parents don't live that long. And so they are kind of what makes the money in the family. Because if their parents aren't there, or if they happen to be living with somebody else, they have to make the money somehow. And so to be able to be with these kids, just to let them be kids, it was pretty cool. We did one of our projects we did without the kids is we actually dug a volleyball court. It's a little harder when you don't have skippy loaders. We had 2 shovels, 3 wheelbarrows, and 3 pickaxes. And so we were digging the first day that we did it, our group. And so when we got done, we're like, oh my goodness, I had calluses on my fingers. And so actually just a couple weeks ago, I started peeling them off and I was like, what's in my hand? So the next day we got our schedule what we were gonna do, and they're like, we're gonna continue this volleyball court. And the people that hadn't worked on the volleyball court was like, yay, we get to work on the volleyball court. And us that had were like, we get to work on the volleyball court. So it rained and we weren't able to. So then the next day we were gonna do it and something else happened. And so at the end we're like, we're sorry we didn't get to finish this volleyball court, but we were kind of happy about that. The next slide just kind of just shows us just hanging out. It was hot, it was about 90 degrees, but we had a good time. There are so many stories that I can tell you. There's so many stories that I can share. Not enough time to do it. So if you have any questions, please just ask. And I want to thank you for letting me share. Thank you for all your support and your prayers. I knew when I was there, I had you guys back here praying for me, and I appreciated that so very much. Because we live in such a small part, but God has such a big picture, and we live in such a big world. It's pretty cool that way. So I just want to thank you again for letting me show and experience and share and being part of my life. So thank you.